All right. Should we start?
Sure. Let's see where this bitch goes.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
Welcome back, John.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. This is our first episode of 2019 and we're only 2 weeks late.
Yeah. That's all right.
But there
we're worth the wait.
There were reasons.
There were.
I was sick for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
And then you had to go on a spy mission, so.
I did. It was very successful, though, so
we couldn't.
That's all you need to know.
That's right. We couldn't do it then, so here we are.
Here we are.
Back in the saddle again, I guess. So are you doing well?
I am.
You are?
Yourself?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I had quite an interesting weekend. The weekend from hell. So Friday night, it must have been around 9:30. I'm sitting up here in the office, and the kid is up here, and she's scratching her head, and she's scratching her head, and she's scratching her head. I'm like, "What is wrong with you?" And she's like, "I don't know, my head's itchy." So I said, "All right, well, maybe you need to go wash your hair." And then she was like, "I guess," and she's scratching her head, and I'm like, "My wife was up here," and I said, "You might want to check her." Just to be on the safe side. So about 5 minutes later, I hear, "Chris, come here." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck me." Yep, she's got head lice. I'm like,
"Oh, gross."
So it's not one of those things where you can just let it go.
No, you cannot.
So like 9:30 at night, we're stripping all the bedding, all the blankets, anything that's touched her head, all her clothing. I go to the store and I get one of those lice kit things that's got the comb and all that shit in it. And I'm spraying down her bed, and my wife is in there combing her hair and like doing all the stuff for that. We get done at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So up bright and early the next day for whatever reason. And we're like, all right, well, at least that's getting better. And as my wife is looking at my kid's head, she said, I'm back in the office and I hear, "Hey, Chris, come here." And I'm like, "You're kidding me again?" And she was like, "No, now we have a new problem."
Oh, God.
And I said, "What's the new problem?" And apparently the backs of the kid's earrings had gone into her ear.
What?
Yeah, so I don't know if she was playing with them, but like all you could see is the little nub of the end, like sticking to her ear.
Ew.
And I'm like, "Son of a bitch, we're going to have to go to the hospital and have these things cut out." So I'm looking at them and I'm like, "Well, fuck it. If we're going to go, we're going to go in style." And I come back in the office and I grab a pair of needle nose pliers. And I'm like, "All right, let's see what happens."
Oh.
So I hook the end of it, and I grab the ear with the other end, and I just start tugging on it. I'm like, "Does that hurt?" And the kid's like, "No, not at all." And then popped one out.
Oh.
I was like, "All right, time to get the other one out." That one was a little bit harder, but it did finally come out.
Oh, gross.
So, you know, both ears are bleeding. We're like, "All right, well, if they don't stop, we'll have to go see the doctor." Fortunately, they stopped. So I'm like, what else could fucking happen this weekend? Yesterday on Sunday, I'm in here working on a 3D print, shove a X-Acto blade straight into my thumb. I'm like, motherfucker. Blood all over the desk, all over my hand. I'm like, oh, I probably should go get stitches, but I'm not gonna. So I just held it for a long time until it kind of blood clotted. But like my left hand, like I can't like squeeze anything because like it just like is a lot of pain.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then thinking today it was all going to be over. I'm going back to work.
Oh, Jesus.
I get to work and I open up the studio. I'm booting up my computer and I reach my hand in my pocket. And what's in my pocket? My wife's car keys.
Oh,
I don't know how I did it because my car has a push to start button.
Right.
And as long as the keys are on me, I don't ever have to take them out of my pocket to unlock the door.
Okay.
It's like a motion. It's a proximity thing. I can push the button on the door that it unlocks. So I never even thought about what keys I grabbed. Well, she's now got to bring the kid to school. I'm a half an hour away and school starts in 20 minutes. So I made it back in 20 minutes.
Wow. But
it's been 4 days of like one thing after another. And I don't know why.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
What a horrible way to start the new year.
Well, it started with me in bed sick for a week. So
yeah, that's kind of not good.
And the kicker to that was, so I had been for the last year, I had been planning on switching over to a high deductible health plan.
Uh-huh.
From a PPO. And the only way that works is if you have money in a health savings account to really make it worth your while. Well, I get sick the first week. I'm like, I can't go to the doctor because it's going to cost me a couple hundred bucks to pay for the doctor's visit when that's something that comes out of your HSA. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to lay in bed until I feel better. So, well, I probably should have gotten better sooner, but I didn't because I'm a cheap son of a bitch. And... You know.
Oh God.
Yeah. So yeah. It started out well. We'll see where the rest of this year goes, but you know.
Starting well, it can only get better from now.
Could it really?
Sure.
Because it could get worse.
It could and probably will, but I was trying to be positive.
I could walk down the steps and trip and like break something tonight.
You could,
you know, just for shits and giggles,
just for the heck of it. Let's see how big a deductible you can really get out of this.
Well, I mean, being an HP, the most I could ever be responsible for is $5,000.
That's still a lot.
It is, but it when you think that if you break your wrist, it could be upwards of $20,000 to like get it set and fixed.
Okay.
$5,000 is nothing. So I will take that chance.
All right.
But, you know. And I could have gone to the doctor, but again, I'm a cheap bastard.
That's right.
I just didn't want to.
So wait till something falls off and then you can go to the doctor.
I could. We'll see.
Or wait till something strange starts growing. That's even more fun. It's a lump that suddenly has teeth.
Yes. Ow, it bit my finger.
Yes.
Kill it with fire.
Nice. Yeah. So is your home officially lice free or did you all get lice?
No, it was just the kid.
Good.
I had never gotten lice as a kid. I think one of my sisters did. And my wife said that she had lice. Apparently it's very easy for a girl. I guess the longer your hair, the easier it is to get.
Okay.
So, you know, we don't know whether she got it at school or like when we go to Chick-fil-A, she plays in the thing.
There.
So she could have gotten it from anywhere. And according to my wife, it looked like it wasn't that far along. She didn't find that many.
So she just got it.
Yeah. Apparently we caught it really early.
Well, you were lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
But we sprayed everything. Like this kit came with shampoo and a comb and the spray shit that you're supposed to spray all over.
Yeah.
Like bedding and stuff like that. And it tells you to like any of the combs you have to like soak in hot water and shit like that.
Hmm.
So rite of passage for a little girl, I guess, is head lice.
Nice.
And, you know, it is the South, so whatever. But now every little kid that comes near my daughter, I'm now like giving the stink eye to.
Right.
Like, get away from her.
Which one of you nappy-headed little dirty bitches gave my daughter lice?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was entertaining to say the least.
Huh.
I was begging to go back to work at one point.
I can imagine.
I got to go back to work. And then I went to work and then had to immediately come home because I had taken the wrong keys. Not only had I taken the wrong keys, I had taken both sets.
How'd you manage that?
I don't know. I don't know if I was just really tired from the weekend.
Yeah.
But normally both sets hang by the garage door.
Okay.
And for some reason, yesterday when I came home from wherever, I didn't hang my keys up. I left them in my pocket, and last night I put them next to my wallet. So I guess I put those in my pocket, and when I walked downstairs to leave this morning, I guess I just assumed that whatever was hanging there was mine and grabbed them and just threw them in my pocket because
right.
I don't ever need to have them out.
Right.
So at that point, you know, and then I was like, well, fuck. Now what do I do? Guess I'm driving all the way home. So yay, traffic in Charleston.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that was my day. So, you know, fun.
Well, good.
What have you been up to besides top secret things?
Just top secret stuff. Can't discuss it.
You suck.
Can't discuss it. Catching up on some TV.
I
binge watched 2 seasons of Riverdale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it all like weird, like supernatural shit now?
I don't know. That would be the 3rd season.
Oh.
Or that would be the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
No, I thought they... I could have... Maybe it is the season you haven't watched or whatever. But, like, I thought there was, like, supernatural shit going on in Riverdale now.
Oh, there could be. Before that, it was just a gangster played by Kelly Ripa's husband.
And Jughead's in a gang?
Jughead is the leader of the gang.
Oh, okay.
You know, they could have named these kids anything. It has nothing to do with the Archie comics. Nothing at all.
Maybe that's what they wanted to do.
I guess.
And then somebody said, no, you have to use a comic property because it's the fucking CW.
Yeah, right?
If it doesn't belong to a comic book, we don't want it.
Damn it.
Yeah. What else did you watch?
I watched Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Oh, Jesus.
It was just a stupid, fun movie.
Was it?
That's all I can say.
Did you see the first one?
I think so.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. It's just this stupid movie, and towards the end, Cher shows up, and next thing you know, she's having a concert over the final credits. That was it.
For no reason.
For no reason. Nice. Nope, that was it. Yeah. It was good.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow. I've been binge watching a couple things myself. Oh. Uh-oh. Let's see if it comes back. John, are you there? Oh, welcome back, 2019. Well, well, well. Come on. Hello?
What's up?
Everything okay? Oh,
the joys of technology. Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
The lights flickered, and then my cable went out, and I had to wait for it to be rebooted.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Okay.
So Yeah, so here we are.
Yeah. We're talking about Mamma Mia.
Oh, yes.
When last we left.
When last we left.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how did you happen upon Mamma Mia?
It was one of the few movies that was on the cable box.
Okay.
Where the place I was.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Okay.
Speaking in code. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there you have it.
Shouldn't you have been working instead of watching movies?
Well, you know, at times...
You're paid for what you know, not for what you do, right?
Yes.
See, I know. I remember. So I've been binged watched some stuff.
You did?
Over the break, yeah.
Such as?
So I may have sprung for a couple of years of a VPN.
Okay.
So that I could watch shows that I wouldn't normally have access to.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Such
possibly.
As?
They say it's completely legal to do this, so I'm going to go with that until it bites me in the ass. But.
Okay.
Well,
they can't trace you because you're on a VPN.
Exactly. So. A lot of the streaming services that we have to pay for in the States.
Right.
Put their stuff on Netflix everywhere else but the United States. So there's a bunch of things that I hadn't seen that I was like, you know what? Now that I have the VPN, I'm going to watch this.
Okay.
So the first one was Star Trek Discovery because I wasn't going to pay for Star Trek or CBS All Access.
Okay.
Because I figured, wow, what the fuck? You know, I didn't know if I'd like the show.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the show to a degree.
Okay.
It's a very different Star Trek than what I'm used to.
Okay.
It's a very linear story as opposed to all the other series that were very episodic.
Okay.
Like DS9 did some linear storytelling towards the end of their run, but the whole thing about like every week everything's reset and we're just carrying on with a new adventure every week. That's not Star Trek Discovery. You have to watch the very first episode to understand the very last episode.
Oh, okay.
Being a lifelong Star Trek fan, I have a lot of issues with the show, which I think a lot of people do from what I've read on the internet. So, like, this is supposed to be 10 years before the original series takes place. And the state of technology on the ship that they're on makes it look like it's past Next Generation.
Okay.
Like it's all touchscreens and like holograms, and where the original series said that there had never been a woman captain. Well, the very first episode, there's a woman captain.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense within the timeline of everything else.
Hmm.
They redesigned the Klingons.
Oh.
So they're more alien looking. And it's like, you can't just do that because you're shitting on 50 something years of established lore. Like they've always looked a certain way. Even like in the original series, they didn't have the bumps on their head and they kind of explained that away to something else.
Right.
But this, they're completely alien. When they speak, it's all in Klingon. So it's all in, subtitles. So you're trying to watch the action while you're reading, and it's a little difficult at times.
Mm-hmm.
But from a special effects standpoint, it's a beautiful show.
Mm, okay.
They spared no expense in the visual effects side of this. It just doesn't fit within the confines of the established canon. So when I'm watching it, it's like, if they had just taken this and said, this is going to be Star Trek, but it's going to be in a time you haven't seen before. Like it's 200 years after Picard and all that stuff. Like then you could get behind, okay, everything looks a little different. But it just wasn't, it's just not to a point where I'm like, this does not take place 10 years before Kirk and Spock.
Okay.
And in the second season, like, at the end of the first season, they rendezvous with the Enterprise and Captain Pike comes over and they have to go find Spock. And it's like, okay, so we're already throwing the bone of like, we're going to try to like shove this into the canon now when it's just not right. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it starts this week, actually, this second season. So I'll be interested to see how quickly that those get on Netflix. And like say Great Britain.
Oh, okay.
And then the other thing that I watched was the DC Titans live action show.
Oh, how was that?
It's interesting. It tells a the story it tells, I was not expecting it to tell.
Okay.
Which I really enjoyed because I had no expectations going in. I thought they were going to go one way and it completely goes in the opposite direction. It doesn't end where you think it's going to end. I don't really want to give anything away in case you decide to watch it.
Okay.
But they're already world building to the point of they introduce the Doom Patrol, which is like Robot Man is one of them, and it's voiced by Brendan Fraser.
Oh, and, nice to see him getting work.
Yes, and I forget what the other dude's name is. Negative Man, I think it who it is.
Okay.
And it's Matt Bomer from White Collar,
Magic Mike.
And Magic Mike and all them.
Okay.
And hearing that they were going to do a Doom Patrol series, I was like, okay, this is DC shot at like Guardians of the Galaxy. Here's a group of people you've never heard of that they think will work as a group. And when you first get introduced to them, you totally buy into the concept. So now I'm totally on board for a Doom Patrol TV show.
Okay.
It's really interesting to hear superheroes curse. And not just like shit and damn, but like dropping fuck in like every episode.
Wow.
So it's definitely not like a TV series for kids.
Sure.
Like if you're taking your kids to go see Teen Titans Go to the Movies or whatever that movie was, This is not something that you follow that up with. Because literally...
Not family friendly?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. So literally the first thing you see, and it was in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, is Robin shows up in an alleyway to take down some guy. And they're all making fun of him. They're like, oh, it's the bird boy. Where's Batman? And he proceeds to kill them all and like curb stomp a couple of them.
Oh.
And with blood on his face, he's like, fuck Batman. And it's like, all right, that tells you everything you need to know about the tone of this TV show.
Huh.
And they introduce like Hawk and Dove at one point and they're killing people or like making them bleed and hurt them pretty severely.
Right. Okay.
You know, everybody is killing people. Starfire kills somebody. Beast Boy kills somebody. And you're like, wow, okay. This is not the Teen Titans that I grew up with.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Because I think I was introduced to Teen Titans when I was in school. There was some anti-drug comic books that they handed out.
Okay.
That were Teen Titans. So that's like my...
Sure it wasn't drugs they were handing out?
No, it was...
Okay.
Let me see. I think it was Teen Titans. If I can only spell. Teen Titans. Drug. PSA Comics. Well, as this loads... let's see. The new Teen Titans Just Say No. It rolled out in 1983 from Hanna-Barbera, I guess, did it?
Okay.
As I guess they were did they do Super Friends?
I think so.
So the Hanna-Barbera thing was an actual cartoon, and then they spun it off into a comic book. And I remember getting those in school. like, here, kids, here's a bunch of superheroes that say don't do drugs.
Mm.
And since, you know, in the early 80s, comic books were not like as cool as they are now. Like, I was the only one, I think, that I read it in my class. But it was interesting. So that's the image of I had in of the Teen Titans in my head, and the cartoons that I've watched with my kid for Teen Titans Go, where Beast Boy wants a moped and it will go works in a fish and chips shop in order to make the money, and it's some tale about like saving up and not blowing all your money on something, or whatever that was.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, you get this and Beast Boy like mauls somebody to death as a tiger and you're like, wow, okay, that's an interesting place to go. But it was pretty interesting. It's a way different take on the superhero genre.
Okay.
You know, in Arrow and Flash, they never kill anybody and there's not a whole lot of blood. And this is just the opposite.
Oh.
This is a streaming service that we own. We're just going to go for it.
Sure. Why not?
And they do. And it's interesting. Is it worth the $70 a year?
Oof.
It depends on if you're going to watch any of the movies or the other cartoons or anything like that.
Right.
I can see how it could be, but you know, if you have a VPN, you don't really have to pay for that.
Amazing.
Yes.
Oh, since you've had access to Netflix, did you see the movie Bird Box?
I watched that on Saturday night.
And what did you think of that?
I don't know how to feel about it.
Okay.
Did you see it?
I did not.
Okay.
I've read an awful lot about it.
So it's an interesting film because they break it up. It's a non-linear story. They keep jumping back and forth in time.
Okay.
When you first meet Mallory, the main character who's played by Sandra Bullock, she's taking these two kids into a boat and going down the river. And then it flashes back 5 years to the start of what's happening.
Okay.
And all you find out is that people are seeing things and it's causing them to kill themselves.
Right.
And there's all these really bizarre shots in this movie of like people trying to help people and then they look up and then they just get this look on their face and then they go sit in a burning car. And you're like, wow, okay, that's kind of fucked up.
Hmm.
And you, I don't know how much you want me to say or spoil or whatever.
I have no interest in seeing this movie.
Okay. All right. So spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it. You find out that it's an alien invasion. And if you're a good person, looking at the aliens makes you kill yourself. But if you're a bad person, it makes you want to go find good people and make them look at the aliens so that they can kill themselves.
Okay.
So it's very bizarre. There's like John Malkovich is in the first half of this movie and they're in this house with all these other people and they've covered all the windows. And then there's a knock at the door one day. And it's this dude that says that he was up, in another house. And then these people knocked on the door and broke in and took everybody outside and he was able to hide his eyes or whatever. But it turns out that he's actually bad.
Okay.
But one of the weirdest parts about this is that you never see the aliens.
Okay.
It's you're just led to believe that there are these aliens and or demons. It's kind of stated at one point that they might be demons that are here to bring about the end of the world.
Okay.
There's like all kinds of things that are like floated around with this. So it's a very bizarre film. I don't know whether or not it's, I've read things where people really love it and where people really hate it.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like I'm in the middle. Like, I appreciate the movie for what it was, but as a viewer, there are certain things that I want resolved at the end. And one of those would be like, what the fuck is going on? But you are left in the same position as the other characters, that all you know is that you have to wear a blindfold. You can't look around. And the whole point of going down the river is to find the sanctuary, where people are held up, and the birds in the movie, birds can tell you when these creatures, aliens, demons, whatever they are near.
Okay.
So they wind up in the sanctuary where the top of it is like a bird aviary. And when the birds go nuts, I guess all the people hide or whatever. Okay. It's very bizarre. And I really don't know whether I liked it or not.
Well, it's also spawned this bizarre phenomenon online where people are taking the Bird Box Challenge. Have you heard this part of it?
No.
Supposedly you're supposed to like try to go through your daily life blindfolded. Well, one 17-year-old twit did it while driving.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's almost as bad as people chasing Pokemon and falling off cliffs.
Yeah. So there is a scene in the Bird Box where they have to go get food, and they know that there's nobody out on the street. So what they do is they cover the windows with like paper and paint. And then they drive using the onboard GPS.
Oh, okay.
But they knew there was nobody out on the street. Like, why would you try to do this?
'Cause people are stupid. The other interesting thing about this is that it was a movie that did pretty much no publicity whatsoever.
Right.
And just because of word of mouth, it got millions of views.
Well, that's the beauty of Netflix, is Netflix has like latched onto this thing of like, absolutely, well, we're going to show you maybe one trailer that's not really going to tell you anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to recommend it to you a bunch of times, but it's going to be up to you to actually find this. That's how Stranger Things started. They never yes. put out a trailer for Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only by word of mouth and people being nostalgic for the 80s that made that show what it was. So it's, they really are onto something as far as like their original programming.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I kind of feel like this might've been one of those things, like Netflix is now in the business of buying films that they don't think is going to do as well as it could in the movie theater.
Okay.
And putting them on Netflix because Netflix will pay a set amount to the filmmakers or the studios or whoever owns it. And then they don't have to worry about views. It's just on there. And then Netflix can call it an original movie or whatever. They've done that a couple of times. And from what I understand, like the filmmakers that have done that are like, we don't have to worry about box office. We make the movie that we kind of want to make. And if people find it, that's great. You know, of course you want it to be huge so that Netflix will say, hey, we'll do another film.
Right.
But I mean, Netflix has really latched on to the whole sci-fi fantasy horror thing.
Yeah, quite a bit.
They've pretty much said that that's the direction they're going in. I'm trying to look at, where are the Netflix originals? So, what's this? The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is a dark comedy and a Western. That was one of those that they were like, I think they bought and was like, okay, we're just going to put this online instead of trying to do a theatrical run.
Right.
Because you don't want to be the movie that, you know, doesn't make any money at the fucking box office. You lose a shitload of money on.
Sure.
Like that Welcome to Marwall? Is that what it was called?
Marwin. With Steve Carell.
Yeah. That tanked and everybody was like, oh, that looks like a really good movie, until you find out why the dude got beat up. Like, have you read the actual story?
No.
So the reason that the five guys jumped him in the bar was because this dude got drunk and told them that he likes to get dressed up in women's high heels. And he wanted to take these guys back to his place and dress them up in heels or something like that.
Oh.
And in being drunk, they beat the shit out of him.
Sure.
So once everybody found out that was like the what kicks off the movie, mm-hmm. nobody went to see it. So they're losing a shitload of money. There was another big movie that they said was going to lose like $100 million.
Aquaman?
No, Aquaman made $1 billion.
I know.
The Outlaw King is another one. Chris Pine.
Oh yeah.
That was one that I think they released in the theater for like a week, but they released it on Netflix at the same time.
Okay.
Mowgli was another one. Legend of the Jungle. The
mm-hmm.
the version of the Jungle Book from. Oh, what's his name?
Mowgli's
no,
point of view?
No. Well, yeah, but it's the guy, the motion capture guy. The guy who played Snoke.
Circus?
Yeah.
Oh, Andy Circus. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of those on here that they're just like, they're just Netflix movies now.
Well, that was Santa Chronicles.
Yes, that too.
Okay.
You know, anything that they think. You know, they'll just step in and say, hey, we got a place for you.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Now, have you been watching the new season of Gotham?
I did. I'm really sad that this is the last season.
I am too, because that first episode kicked ass.
Yeah.
I'm still concerned that they took an episode from much later in Bruce's life and put it at the time when Bruce was a child, teenager or whatever.
Which is what?
The No Man's Land.
Oh, well, yeah.
But the energy of that first episode was phenomenal.
Well, I feel like at this point, when they started writing these, they knew flat out it was the last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they were just like, fuck it, who cares? Just put everything we can into every single one of these episodes.
Which is sad, because if they had done that to begin with,
yeah,
they'd still be on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed like the way that it opened of it's 390 days into No Man's Land.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these, you're seeing all these people in like all their glory.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're coming together and they're fighting what looks like the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be the government. It's got to be something else, but they're making
sure.
You believe it is.
Right.
But just the way that they've structured these stories of the way that Gotham is broken up into these sectors and each person is running a different sector, and they've totally gone in on like the Scarecrow,
uh-huh,
and his look, and he's wearing the pointed hat and like the whole nine yards, and you're like, wow, I didn't think that they could make this look cool on TV, and they totally did.
Definitely.
And apparently, at some point, we're going to get a flash-forward episode.
Sure.
Of, like, 15 years.
Right, of Batman in costume.
Of full Batman.
Yep.
So, that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how far they take young Bruce and the things that happen to him. because they've already showed like Ace Chemicals in some of the trailers and Bruce fighting Jerome like above the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be really bizarre if they were like, look, in this universe, it's Bruce that knocks him in and not so much quote unquote Batman.
Mm.
And that's what drives the relationship. But I don't know. It's a very weird mixture of we're going to take things that are happening in Batman mythology later on and set it way earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess if you're going to do it, just go for it full and just
sure.
not and worry about it. Oh, they are.
They are. I like Poison Ivy's new look.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really think the only thing that I've seen that I didn't like, and they haven't really shown it yet, is Bane.
Right.
I thought the Bane costume was a little weird for what they were mm-hmm. doing. But the intrigue of, like, what's going on with the Riddler? Why is he waking up in dumpsters?
Right.
And, like, they're not holding back on, like, because they know they only have 10 episodes to tell this story. They're just moving shit right along. And I like that. There is no kind of like wait. Like this is going to pay off later in the season. It's like, no, this is going to pay off now.
Right.
Like we don't have room for you guys to build up this story.
No, this is it. It's now or never.
Yeah.
And maybe it does so well that they, you know, throw a 2 or 3, you know, TV movie deal at them.
Maybe.
Seeing where it could go. I don't know. It's too early to tell. But, yeah, I mean, I really liked the first 2 episodes.
I mean, I kind of feel like DC is going to start shifting the Batman assets over to the CW.
Sure.
With Batwoman. And like the whole thing that they did in the crossover. Did you watch mm-hmm. the crossover?
I did. Yes.
I thought the episode that they did in Gotham was really, really well done
mm-hmm.
as a backdoor pilot for Batwoman.
Mm-hmm.
But where like going to Arkham and they're hitting every single like bad guy and you're like, wow, okay, they have a chance here to kind of take this over from Gotham and push it into the future. And I don't know whether or not they're going to say that that's the same Gotham. Maybe they say like, well, here's this entire city in the future, because you can never nail down like what year Gotham's taking place in.
Sure.
But you could say, okay, well that was in the past. Batman has been Batman for a long time and now he's gone. And this is the same city, except now it's going to be Batwoman.
Right.
And then you just don't show like Commissioner Gordon or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody has just come together in Gotham now and they're just like, look, we're just going to do this because like, what else do we got? We got, let's see how many episodes. Yeah, 10 episodes. So I'm very interested to see where this will go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really kind of glad that even though in the past, however many seasons it's been, I guess the last 4 seasons, while I never was a week to week watcher, I did eventually end up seeing them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like maybe like seasons 2 and 3, especially like I binged watched at the end of the season. Like I never watched them while it was going. And it was always that love-hate relationship of, like, this gets really stupid, but then they have an episode that's really good. So it's been like that, but, like, this season has just been stellar from the start. So I'm interested to see where they go.
Well, we shall see.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other big news is that Game of Thrones has announced their return date.
Yes, beginning of April.
April. Yep. Have you seen the trailer?
Is that the one in the crypt?
Yes.
Where they don't show anything from the actual episodes?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And they all encounter their own statues that would be in front of their graves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, as much as they're going to kill characters off, people have to live.
Sure. Or do they?
Well,
what if everybody dies and that's why Westeros is no longer?
Like the Army of the Dead win? The mm-hmm. White Walkers just like kill everybody?
Because now there's speculation about the what the name Winterfell means.
Oh, really?
And does the name actually forebode what happens to it, as opposed to having been named in the past?
Okay.
Because it's the closest kingdom to the White Walkers.
Right.
And winter is coming, mm-hmm. which was the Stark motto.
Right.
So if the what is he called? The White Walker?
The White King.
The White King.
Uh-huh.
If he attacks Westeros, which is where Jon Snow and Sansa and Arya are now, apparently.
Right.
Does Winterfell fall? And that allows the White King to move further south towards Cersei.
Well, I definitely think they're going to run through Winterfell. I feel like they've got to get to King's Landing. And I feel like Daenerys has dragons, and while they'll lose a lot of people, I think the main characters will get out alive. You may lose
one.
You
think so?
Possibly.
Yeah. You think Cersei will make it through?
No. No.
I think her death is going to be pretty, pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty graphic and,
So, I mean, when we last left Cersei, she was planning on, going against her word to Jon Snow.
Yep.
And that made Jaime leave King's Landing to help, I guess, who he said he'd help.
Right.
And I feel like at some point, Jaime's going to have to make a choice between saving everybody else or saving his sister. And right. He's going to let her die. Whether they get ripped apart by White Walkers or she gets killed by the Ice Dragon, something bad is going to happen to her. And I think they'll thin out the cast a lot, but I think maybe it's not as many people as we think it's going to be.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be one final person with the bodies of all these other people around the throne.
Really?
Like sitting on it.
No?
No. No. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's, you know, now that they're planning on doing the prequel series,
mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of feel like they might be blowing their load doing it this close to the main series.
I think they're afraid of losing momentum.
That never works, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Walking Dead. You're going to do a completely other series, but then you kill off all the people that you had on that and
right.
just stack it with people from the main show. And this is supposed to be a prequel in like hundreds of years before the events of Game of Thrones, but I don't know.
I think we're going to have to just wait and see what happens.
Well, at least it's closer than it has been. I mean, we're only a couple of months away now.
Yes.
It's going to be a busy spring.
It is.
Because you have Shazam coming out.
Yeah.
You have Captain Marvel. The Avengers. Spider-Man. And then if you like Disney films, there's Aladdin, Lion King,
Dumbo.
Like, fucking Disney is just all over the place this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of entertainment for sure.
Right.
Whether you like this or you like comic book movies or TV shows, there's going to just be a ton of stuff to watch.
Good. It's about time. Hopefully it's good. That's the problem. Hopefully it's good.
Well, I mean, you probably didn't see Aquaman, I'm guessing.
I did not.
I've seen it twice. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's not as heavy as the other DC movies. There's definitely a return to bright colors and humor, even if the humor doesn't always fit.
Sure.
And watching it for the first time, so I went with a bunch of people from work to see it for the first time. And there are James Wan, to his credit, likes to do long takes in camera. And whether or not those are added to through CG later on, whatever. But as opposed to other comic book films, and I'll just take the big one from last year, in Infinity War, during the Battle of Wakanda, there is a bunch of times when you have no clue where you are in relation to anything else, and it's just people punching CG creatures. And in Aquaman, there are long takes where the camera is going from one character to another, staying with that character, and then pulling back across to the other character and following them for a while. And it's all long established shots where you know exactly where you are and who's doing what. And it felt like a different type of action movie. And while while in Act 3 you get the big CG battle between all these characters, you still understand where you are, which is something I think a lot of those types of films fail at, because they're doing the whole like, ooh, punchy punchy over here, and oh, this character's punching this guy. James Wan at least is keeping things so that you know where you are. There's a battle in the very beginning in a house where the camera flips up over on top and you just follow this character attack these other characters. But it's never a broken shot. And whether they're doing it through CG or whatever, at least you know where in the room you are, who's where, what they're doing. Like, that stuff I appreciate. Because okay, Michael Bay has killed like the whole action genre of
the
like
action genre
fast cuts, and like in Transformers, where if there's two robots fighting, you never see the fight because you can't fit them in the camera.
Sure.
And this just felt different, and it like almost a callback to like movies from the 80s where they were doing everything in camera and they were trying to show it off. So I think from that standpoint, it's a movie to be seen. Whether you like the DCEU or not, what's his name? Jason Momoa is a real likable guy in this film. And he makes it fun.
Okay.
And there was only one real cringy part, so you know, whatever.
So this isn't another DC movie where it all looks like a video game.
There's action scenes, there's typical action scenes, and there's a lot of underwater stuff. Okay. And there's a lot of the underwater stuff. The naysayers are like, well, it looks like Avatar because it glows. It looks like, people are saying it looks like nighttime on Pandora. And I understand that, but I also understand the filmmaker wanting to make this like a colorful world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we hadn't seen before. And here's Atlantis. And like, you've only heard the myths of Atlantis, and we're going to show you what it's really like. And like, I understand wanting to do that. But it does take place underwater, and people are swimming and their hair is floating around, and they're riding on seahorses and sharks. So there's a lot of CG in it, but I think for what it is, it's done really well.
Okay.
You know, there's never a time where you look at something like in Justice League, where you look at the main bad guy and you're like, oh, that looks terrible.
Mm.
Or during the Battle of Wakanda with like, what's her name? Thanos's chick, Proxima Midnight. You know, when she's talking, you're like, that looks fucking terrible.
Right.
So there are no... The few CG, full CG creatures there are don't really talk.
Okay.
And I think James Wan is smart enough to know where to put CG and where not to. And if he could do it in camera, he did it in camera.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think it's worth seeing. I think if you're a comic book fan, and I've had discussions with people who have said, well, I'm not going to go see it because it's a DC film. And I'm like, well, I'm going to see a comic book film. Like, I'd rather have shitty comic book films than no comic book films.
Sure.
But I mean, I don't know. I just feel like seeing the films that have come before it, this is a close second to Man of Steel for me. Like, I still think Man of Steel is the best DC movie that they've done in this universe.
Okay.
Wonder Woman was number two for a while, but this beats Wonder Woman for sure. And like where Wonder Woman de-evolves into the big CG punch fest at the end.
Yes.
This has a big battle at the end of it as well, but at least it's between two humans.
Or okay.
Two Atlanteans, I guess.
Sure.
You know, I still think The Dark Knight is the best DC film that's ever been made. But in this universe, this connected universe, I think they took a character that was made fun of a lot for just being able to talk to fish and made it a decent action film.
Cool. So do you think that Marvel's going to follow up with Namor?
You know, with this making $1 billion... I could see them definitely sit looking at that saying, we need to do our own water hero. But DC is, or Marvel's also smart enough to be like, well, that's what they're doing.
Like, true.
We've already
very
got
true.
Our shit mapped out. So if that's what they want to do and they're going to make $1 billion off it, that's fine. I mean, Marvel didn't put anything out during that time. They let DC have that box office. You know, it beat some Disney stuff. It beat Mary Poppins and I guess Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, I'm sure Disney's paying attention now that like DC is capable of making a film that goes up on the box office record
right.
board. So, but they don't really have anything to worry about since everything that they make hits $1 billion.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm sure Marvel's like, let them have this one. Who cares? Cause like, What are they going to do? Another Suicide Squad film?
Aren't they?
Which they are doing, and it's going to be James Gunn. James Gunn has signed on to do that. So, if he can turn Suicide Squad around and throw it in Disney's face that they got rid of him off of Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, good on him.
Sure.
Speaking of Guardians, did you see that Chris Pratt got engaged?
Yes.
To Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter?
He'd better treat her well.
That's an interesting relationship. Imagine going to Christmas at that house. And look, I like Chris Pratt, but I think he's becoming a little too preachy for me.
Yeah, I've heard some weird stuff lately.
I don't know if you read the Instagram post.
No.
All right, here, wait, let me find it. What is his Pratt? Pratt. So, he put, "Sweet Catherine, so happy you said yes. I'm thrilled to be marrying you. Proud to live boldly in faith with you." And it's like, all right. Like, I like the dude as Star-Lord and all, but come on. Not everybody feels that way.
Yeah. Apparently now he's on a Bible-based diet.
What the fuck? What's a Bible-based diet?
I don't know. You only eat things Jesus did?
Where did you read that?
Oh, somewhere.
All right, hang on. I'm going to look it up. 2 days ago, praise the Lord, Chris Pratt is going on a Bible diet.
There you go.
It's a 21-day fast.
That's not healthy.
Okay, so apparently last Friday, photo surfaced of a shirtless Chris Pratt, and the chorus proclaimed, "Chris Pratt's dad body is back." Granted, Chris Pratt's dad bod is also what I would call aspirational, but you know what? Fine. Chris Pratt has a dad bod. Okay. But 1 week later, Chris Pratt told People that he is embarking on something called the Daniel Fast. It's a diet based on a biblical story of Daniel, who asked the chief official if he could be pardoned from eating royal food and wine. He was permitted to do this for 10 days, after which he allegedly came out looking like a total snack. Seeing the results, everyone else followed this method, and thus Daniel founded the first fab diet. The rules of the modern Daniel fast are simple. You can only drink water, and you can only eat foods that come from seeds. You do this for 21 days, and then presumably you thank God it's over and reprioritize what matters in your life. After doing a little research, this diet has been around for a while, but it popularized by a woman named Susan Gregory, who says, "A December day in 2007, God spoke to my spirit and said, write about the Daniel fast. And so she did. And now she has a book which you can buy from Amazon for about $10. Hallelujah." Okay, so it's all like seed stuff. Which, okay.
So like granola for life.
Kinda, yeah. And there's like breads that they make out of seeds and shit. And,
okay.
You know. I need to see what this dad bod looks like. I mean, I don't know why people think that those physiques that they have in those superhero films are going to stick around.
Right.
Like, they do that specifically for the shirtless scenes.
Sure.
And there was a story when Josh Brolin was doing press for Deadpool 2, somebody was like, man, you got jacked. And he was like, hey, you know what? I went on set for Avengers thinking all these guys were working out and they're just wearing suits with muscles on them. And it's like, yeah, because they're not doing shirtless scenes for these.
Right.
Why would you kill yourself? All right. I mean, dude's not fat. The dude is not in his Andy from Parks and Rec days.
Right.
Like, I don't know. He's still got like a six pack, kind of. Like, there's still definition there. Fucking Hollywood people, man.
That's right. Fat shaming people.
Oh. Well, there's a diet I'll never go on. Because who wants to do that? Seed food for 21 days? Come on. Oh, good times. All right, you got anything else for this week?
Did you hear about the woman at Walmart who was arrested for drinking wine out of a Pringles can and driving around the parking lot in a scooter?
I did hear that. Was that in Florida?
That was in Texas. Thank you.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, usually it's Florida. Usually that ends with a Florida woman.
Yeah, nope, not this time.
Wow. I mean, look, if you're going to get drunk at a Walmart, why the fuck not?
Sure.
I mean, you got to go out with some style, right? If you're going to get arrested, for fuck's sake, drink some wine out of a Pringles can.
I just think it's weird that she was driving that scooter around the parking lot for 3 hours before anybody stopped her. You think there's just a bunch of people standing there just going, all right, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, don't call it. They're all sitting there waiting for the battery to die.
Yes.
And after 3 hours, they're like, well, fuck it. Call the cops. Jesus.
Yeah. So good. For once, it wasn't my state.
Nice.
And that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always email us at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week. Nothing?
What do you call a nun in a wheelchair?
What?
Virgin Mobile. Thank you. Be here all week. Try the veal.